Let's bring him in now. WBA middleweight champion, the Miracle Man, Daniel Jacobs. Danny.
Hey, guys. Hey, hey. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Daniel, it's been over a month, man, since that first round knockout over Peter Quilling, Kid Chocolate. 85 seconds, man. Looking back on it, did you realize and did you think it would be that easy? Were you surprised how easy it was?
Man, I'm still on cloud nine. It actually still kind of feels like yesterday. You know, when I caught him with the shot, you know, I still was kind of surprised that Peter Quilling got hurt like that. And to finish him in 85 seconds, man, that was an astonishing performance for myself. And, you know, me riding the wave, I'm just anxious to see what's next for the future for me. Because, you know, with a performance like that, it's bound to be bright.
Some questioned the stoppage. I thought it was a good stoppage at the time. I thought at the time, you know, Peter Quilling really, really could have got hurt in that particular ring. Looking back on it, good stoppage?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a good stoppage. I think it's all in the eyes. You know, you have a chance to really look at the fight and look at Peter Quillen's, you know, posture and his eyes and just his body language. Everything was screaming to that he wasn't, you know, coherent to fight. And he wasn't, you know, really, he didn't really have his two cents to go on. So it was in his best benefit for the referee to stop the fight.
Did Peter Quilling do everything that you expected, everything that you scouted?
I don't even think he got a chance to really open up, and I knew he would be slow. That I knew, and I was always saying that before going into the fight that would probably be one of my biggest advantage. You know, even going into the fight, I had the higher knockout percent ratio. He still was the stronger guy, so a lot of people thought he would knock me out. So for me to hurt him like that, like I said before, was a shocker for everyone, and for me to stop him was an even, you know, bigger shocker. So yeah, I'm just very proud of myself.
Yeah, that was very, very unexpected. 85 seconds, wow, that was crazy. We're talking to middleweight champion, WBA middleweight champion, Daniel Jacobs. And Daniel, what's next now? Who's next for you? I mean, Chris Eubank is your mandatory. Will he be next? Billy Joe Saunders, who has the WBO belt, will he be next? Who's next?
Right now, it's just I think everybody's in negotiations right now. Not as far as opponent, but just scouting opponents and seeing exactly what's out there, who wants to fight. Obviously, there's mandatories too that, you know, we might have to fight in Chris Eubanks Jr., but it, from what I'm hearing, I don't know if he actually wants to fight. So right now, it's just a toss-up, but I'm looking forward to coming back in May sometime and hopefully come back around in the summer. So, you know, maybe we can get a top guy that the fans know and want to see over the summer. But next time around, I'm not sure yet.
Let me ask you this. We look at the middleweight division. When you talk about the middleweight division, you got to talk about Triple G, Gennady Golovkin. And, you know, obviously he is the guy you talk about when you talk about the middleweight division. But because of politics, it might be difficult for you guys to ever get in the ring. Let me ask you this. How does Daniel Jacobs stack up against Triple G?
I think a lot of people definitely realize now, especially with my last performance, that, you know, there's a lot to respect when it comes to my game and what I have to offer inside that ring. I think a lot of people think that, whereas before they just looked at Daniel as just, you know, the new champion, the cancer survivor guy who's just coming up. And now with this impressive victory, people really respect my game. So, you know, I think a guy like Triple G, who's the top man of the division, you know, I think a lot of people would either see it fairly even. So that's something to come in the near future, and I'm excited about it. But, you know, as I continue to climb that ladder, I'm just having fun.
But let me also ask you this now. Canelo Alvarez has the WBC middleweight belt. How do you stack up against Canelo?
I mean, with all due respect, man, I look at Canelo as food. I think he's just, you know, he's like – he's the prey in the division. You know, he has the main belt, which is the WBC. But, you know, he's not really skill-wise, he's really good. He's really good skill-wise, but he's not a true middleweight. And, you know, it's inside that ring, when you have a physical advantage like that, going against a true middleweight, against somebody like myself or Triple G or someone like that, you know, that could be the difference in the fight. So, you know, that's how I look at Canelo. I would love to fight. If the powers to be can make it happen, I would love to make it happen. But You know, how I see that fight is probably me stopping Canelo.
Okay. All right. And Canelo's probably going to fight Triple G sometime during this year. So we'll see how it all shakes out. We're talking to WBA middleweight champion Danny Jacobs. And Danny, I want to ask you this now. Back in 2011, you were diagnosed with a deadly form of bone cancer. Ultimately, you survived it. Ultimately, you overcame it. Ultimately, you're cancer-free. But before you got the diagnosis, did you notice anything different with your health?
I mean, I've always had back problems throughout my trainings, and especially leading up to that, you know, the situation when it all unfolded. I really started to have back problems, and I would complain to my trainer. You know, my trainer is a real strict, stern type of guy, so he always thought I was just complaining. But, you know, I really had back issues, and then, you know, when everything kind of unfolded, you know, it all makes sense. And then, you know, at the worst point, you know, when I was paralyzed, I was just like, you know, how could this all have come about?
For sure, for sure. Let me also ask you this. Did you, obviously you're at the top of the sport right now, but after battling cancer and then after making that return to boxing, did you see yourself, honestly speaking, did you see yourself getting back to the top?
I mean, I think ultimately it's something that you envision. I don't think you, especially this fast, I mean, 18 months, you know, I've been out the game, and then to come back and, you know, it's what, a couple, maybe 2.5, 3 years maybe? You know, to receive a title and then defend it 3 times and then, you know, look impressive as I've been doing. I mean, it's a shocker to myself. So, you know, it's also extra motivation because, you know, this wasn't supposed to be my life. You know what I mean? So
for
this to come about, you know, it definitely serves the nickname Miracle Man right. You know what I mean?
For sure, for sure. Do you feel like, I mean, obviously, no one wants to get cancer. No one, obviously.
Right, right.
But on some level, you doing what you're doing has been a big-time inspiration for many out there. Talk about that.
I mean, yeah. I mean, just, you know, just all that I've gone through and just, you know, when people look at my situation and now that I have that platform where a lot of people know who I am and, you know, fans of what I do for a living, you know, it's just, you know, it serves as a great motivation to people, you know, overcoming what I've gone through, just inside and outside of the ring and, you know, coming back and just, you know, doing what I'm doing, not only inside the ring, but my works inside the community as well. I mean, a lot of people are just, you know, very supportive of the work that I'm doing. And it just feels incredible because, you know, the philanthropy work, I never thought I would be, you know, doing at such a young age, and you know, it's just such an incredible feeling to give back in the way that I do. And like I said before, I just try to use my, you know, my platform and just my exposure to the best of my ability.
For sure. And any point during your, you know, going through and fighting this cancer, did you have doubts? I mean, did you say to yourself at times, I don't know if I can do this? Did you say to yourself at times, I don't think I'll be able to do this?
I mean, doubts crept my mind. I mean, every day. You know, there was times where I cried. There was times where I, you know, thought this would never be a possibility for me even walk correctly. You know, at a point where I had to learn how to walk again. You know, it was just such a hard task to overcome. And you know, doubt always crept in my mind. And my future wasn't looking bright at one point. So yeah, it definitely did. But you know, like I said, boxing was one of those things that, you know, teach you that mental strength to always overcome all your obstacles, no matter how difficult they are. And, you know, cancer was just, you know, another opponent for me. And, you know, I TKO'd the first round with a nice knockout, you know what I mean?
84 seconds?
84 seconds.
We're talking to WBA middleweight champion Danny Jacobs. And now, Danny, I want to ask you this. You got Floyd Mayweather, who is retired for now. With that being said, could Danny Jacobs possibly become one of the faces of boxing?
I mean, I think a lot, you know, it's definitely a possibility. I mean, I think, you know, it's up for grabs. I mean, a guy like myself who has such an incredible story and just the skill to back it up, you know, and just, you know, boxing needs a new face. Boxing needs, you know, with all the controversy behind Floyd Mayweather, I think boxing needs a new twist. It's not about, you know, stereotypes where people think boxers always have to be angry or always have to be the bad guy to, you know,
right.
to sell tickets or just, you know, to be that way. You know, that's not me naturally, so I couldn't see myself being that way to sell tickets. But either way, you know, I'm just happy to be in the position that I am. And I think so many guys like myself, Keith Thurman, Andre Ward, those guys like that are just gentlemen of the sports. And I think,
right.
you know, with talent like that as well, it doesn't matter really who is the top guy at the division to replace Floyd. I mean, just as long as it's one of the gentlemen, that's all I care about.
Let me ask you this. And you know, Floyd, the way Floyd did it, one of the ways, obviously Floyd won a lot of fights. Obviously he's undefeated. But another way he did it was, you know, like you said, through that money persona. And also, you know, he was the villain, but you saw all the girls, all the money, all the, you know, all the different things that come with the Floyd Mayweather and his persona. Is it possible that the public will actually buy a gentleman? You know what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? Will the public buy a gentleman?
I mean, I think so, yeah. I mean, you know, and look at the platform that we have now. You know, we have such a variety and such a mass of people to reach to that we have free network TV that we fight on. We fight on Fox and NBC and, you know, so many other networks. So we have we can have the opportunity to have a huge following. And I think, you know, the parents and the kids, and if you see guys like myself or guys like, you know, Keith Thurman, guys like that who come from, you know, maybe harsh backgrounds, but turn into something positive and conduct themselves in the right way. You know, boxing back in the day was a gentleman's sport, and back in the day it was a gladiator thing, but it was number one sport in the world. You know, and we're trying to bring it back to those days where we're not looked at as the villains. We're looked at as heroes and gladiators.
We'll see. I mean, we'll see if, you know, a gentleman actually can sell and you know,
right.
be popular and, you know, be the face of boxing. I mean, I mean, as much as I love Floyd Mayweather in the ring, and this is not a knock on Floyd Mayweather, and I'm not judging Floyd Mayweather, that whole act, to me, got a little old, got a little stale. But, hey, I mean,
right.
it is what it is. That's what he does. It is what it is. We're talking
sure.
to WBA middleweight champion Danny Jacobs. And, Danny, you're doing big things outside the ring with your foundation, Get in the Ring Foundation, the Daniel Jacobs Foundation. Tell us about it. Tell us some of the great things you're doing.
Oh, man, like I said, you know, just the philanthropy work that I got into a couple of years ago has just been phenomenal. You know, just over the years, just reaching out to so many kids and so many people and touching so many people's hearts. I mean, it's such an amazing, a great accomplishment to be able to touch so many people like that. It's almost surprising to me to see how powerful, you know, but what we do is with my foundation, we talk to children who are going through cancer financially, mentally, and, you know, physically. We try our best to, you know, do as much as we can. And we visit hospitals and things like that. We actually come this Monday. We actually are going to go to Children's Hospital up here in New York. But also things we also target is obesity, kids with obesity, and kids going through bullying within the schools. So we have different programs that we were set up here in New York, and you know, I'm very proud of it, and it's growing by the day, and it's just a great accomplishment. You know, one of the things that I love to mention is that, you know, boxing is a hero sport, and I remember growing up and hearing stories about Muhammad Ali and Sugar Ray Leonard and all the infamous boxing guys who, you know, were Hall of Famers but were golden because of what they represented outside. And I've always told myself that if I was in a position, you know, to be that guy, that I would, you know, do my part to be the people's champion. So, you know, it's just one of the greatest feelings and accomplishments that, you know, I've ever had in my life.
For sure, for sure. And you're doing big things, and obviously your story, it's a miracle story. Thus, you are the miracle man, no doubt about it. And fans, make sure you support all the great things going on with Danny Jacobs. Go to getintheRing.net. Support his foundation. He's doing big things in the community. Also, hit him up on Twitter at Daniel Jacobs, TKO. Support all the great things going on there. Also, hit him up on his Facebook page, Get in the Ring Foundation, and support all the great things going on with Danny Jacobs, the Miracle Man. Let me ask you this. End of the day, are you the best middleweight in the world?
At the end of the day, I'm the very best middleweight in the world, point blank, period.
Okay. All right. Bottom line, he said it. He's the best middleweight in the world. And
indeed.
We'll see if, you know, as we go throughout the years, if he'll stay the greatest, the best middleweight
right.
in the world.
And that's the great thing about the sport, because boxing
right.
is a sport that you can say, but it's about proving yourself. And I've always loved that because it's the challenge, and I love getting up for challenges. So to be the best, you have to be the best. And obviously, we know Triple G right now is the best in the division, and I got to get over that guy to be considered the best middleweight in the world. We'll get there.
For sure. Let me ask you this before we get out of here. I know the politics are the politics. Is it frustrating at times with dealing with the boxing politics and knowing that because, you know, Triple G is with HBO and you know, you're with PBC and, you know, most of the PBC fighters either fight on Showtime or on network television. Does that frustrate you a little bit dealing with the politics of boxing or is it just the nature of the game?
I mean, it's definitely the nature of the game. I mean, we know that it's been that for ages, and I think, you know, slowly transitioning to where, you know, boxing promoters were able to work with each other. But there's been, you know, some type of stagnant going on lately with, I can't really name, you know, we all know the people who won't work with each other. But I think with the
right.
Mayweather and Pacquiao being able to happen, being that that was such a big deal as far as promoters and networks not wanting
sure.
to work with each other, the fact that that was able to be made, I think going into the future, it'll be that much easier for fights like me and Triple G to happen or me and Canelo to happen, even though, you know, we don't share the same promotional management.
No doubt about it. And one more before we get out of here. At the end of the day, if Danny Jacobs was God and he was able to pick the fighter that he could fight next, who would it be?
Probably be Canelo.
Okay.
All
right.
Probably be Canelo, yeah.
All right. I would like to see that one.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can see it. I don't think we'll see it in 2016, but I will definitely
no,
like
I don't
see
think
it in 2017.
So. Indeed.
Danny, a pleasure, man. Wish you nothing but the best of luck. Let's do this thing again.
Indeed, my brother. I appreciate you the very best. Thank you.
Take care.
God bless.